I want to read for you, ask you to read with me, John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. And as is our custom, in honor of God's word, to stand as we read. John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11. This is part of the upper room discourse with the disciples that Jesus held, and these words come to them in the middle of that. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to understand what your Spirit wishes to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I'm learning a lot about listening in my life. You would think that after 64 years, I'd have had that mastered. So I want to ask some of the older folks in this congregation who are a little more mature than I am, have you mastered that? Got the listening thing down in your life? It's a challenge, and it's a work that goes on in our lives. And unfortunately, in our culture, there's a lot of talking. A lot of talking that goes on in our world, and not a lot of listening. And perhaps I should have dedicated this hour to an hour of silence for us to just sit and not have me talk. But I want to just lean into this idea of listening. Nothing betrays my sense of distraction more than when someone is talking to me and I have to turn to them and say, "What?" Does that happen to you? Happens to me all the time. I think we've always had distracted minds and hearts, but we are beginning to really perfect this with our technology and our media. We have cultivated the freedom to be the ultimate selective listeners. And even as you sit here this morning, you may be doing what I typically do when someone is teaching or preaching. I'm evaluating, does that right? Does that match up? I'm thinking about this afternoon, what's going to happen tomorrow. We are selective listeners, and we are cultivating and perfecting that, especially in our culture. And the challenge that was put before us when Duggan took his sabbatical, and the overarching theme that we've been following, is the idea of making room for God's voice. Okay? That's very challenging. And a big part of that is learning to listen. Most of us, I think, have a no vacancy sign that hangs over our hearts and minds most of the time. We're full of stuff, thoughts, information, input from the media and our culture around us. I'm often challenged when this is just me. But I do sometimes read some of the classic devotional works of the past in the Christian world. And what I find when I walk away or push back from my desk having read people who have written hundreds of years ago about the walk we have with Jesus is that how deep and wide their thoughts are. And I find mine so shallow and narrow. And I think some of that is because, not all of it, because all of us, every age has experienced its own kinds of distractions. But I think we're just in that time in the world right now where it's so difficult to cut through all the stuff, the noise, and to really hear God's voice. So the question is, what do I need to change in order for God's voice to really be primary in my life? And what do we need to do to make it primary in the life of the church? Jesus lived a listening life, a life that listened. He listened to his Father. He listens to us and our stories and the needs that we have and those that are behind the things that we say. And cultivating a listening life follows Jesus' example and opens us up in our hearts to hear the voice of God in a world full of noise. A listening life is one that hears God because God is speaking. I'm reading a book in conjunction with Hearing God in Conversation called The Listening Life. So I've not co-opted the author's title because mine is A Listening Life, his is The Listening Life. But I'm learning a lot, and a lot of what I'm learning in even presenting this to you today is still cultivating this idea of listening in my life. And his name is Andrew McEwen, and he says this: our universe is piercingly personal because the God who stands over it and in it wants to communicate with us. So in listening, we open the door and receive a guest. We offer hospitality, the making room part of it, for God's voice. This is what Jesus did in his own life, and it's what Jesus calls us to do in ours. So what was Jesus' pattern? We've got to start there. We have to begin, if we're going to figure out a listening life based on what Jesus did and his example, we have to begin with him. So what was his pattern? Well, the first thing is he spent a lifetime learning to listen to the Father. And I want to emphasize that idea of lifetime because we are so instantaneous in our culture and we forget that any of this progress we make in the Christian life, in this journey with Jesus, is a lifelong process. It's not something that's going to happen to us even today. All the wonderful information I'm going to give you right now, it's only going to be one little piece in that journey that God is building in your life. But he spent a lifetime learning to listen to the Father. Here in John chapter 14, but in a lot of other places in the Gospel of John in particular, in particular 5:19, 8:28, 12:49 through 50, if you are interested in the references, but throughout the Gospel of John, it's clear that Jesus heard from the Father. The things he did and the things he said in particular came from listening to the Father. So how did this come about? It's important for us, and I think we miss this often when we're reading the scriptures and the stories of the people in scripture, that we forget that Jesus did not arrive on the scene at 30 fully formed. God sent into the world his son as a babe, and there were 30 years of learning a lot of things, including listening to the Father. 30 years of growing and maturing like any human being, and certainly underneath all of that was the clear purpose and understanding of who he was, but still, he learned to listen to the Father while living in a world of distractions, whatever they were in the first century world. If you look at the scriptures and the gospels and see Jesus' pattern, there is a pattern of prayer, which we are beginning to understand is this conversational piece with the Father. 26 times in Luke's gospel alone, we find Jesus praying. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says this: and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities. But he would, and the idea there is regularly, withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus spent a lifetime learning to listen to his Father. It's interesting, too, I think, that Jesus spent a lifetime learning to listen to others. In Luke chapter 2, verse 46, when we see Jesus for the first time as a young man, a young child appearing, this is the story when his parents went to the festival, and Jesus didn't start on the journey home with them. And suddenly they look around and, you know, where is he? And they're freaked out. And so they rush back and they find him in the temple. And he's sitting with the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And it says this, that he was listening to them. This is the Son of God who eventually will be teaching them. But at this point in his life, he's listening. Throughout the gospel, we can see Jesus in proximity to people, listening to their pain, listening to their needs, to the real questions behind the questions that they ask, and eventually getting to the question that he regularly asked, what do you want me to do for you? In Jesus, we meet a listener who gives his full attention to people and to the Father. There's this whole sense of hospitality. I mean, it's the word we've been using, but there's this sense that runs through the life of Jesus over and over again. We see it displayed. Hospitality to God the Father and to us. And this is the pattern, I think, that we want to follow to build into our own lives, to make room, to have that sense of hospitality where we hear God's voice, and as a result, we can hear each other even better. So I'd like to share with you some things that I found that are required for me, and maybe for the rest of us, when it comes to building this life of listening based on the pattern of Jesus. For us, I think, and for me, the first thing that's required in a listening life is that it requires the work of God in our souls. Now, this is where we depart from Jesus' example for just a moment, because as human beings, there's something different that has to happen in our lives that didn't have to happen in Jesus. But when you think about it, I mean, just stop for a moment and think about the many voices that you hear every day, every hour of every day. Things that really can keep us from actually listening. There are the external voices, all of the information, music, talking heads, everything else that comes at us every day. But then there are the internal voices too. The internal voices of impatience. The internal voice of distraction, whether it comes from us to us from the outside, or whether it's something we experience internally. There's the voice of pride, where we want to control. There's the voice of fear, and the voice of hard hearts. Pastor Brown last week talked about the soils and talked about hard hearts. And sometimes too, and I want to be careful here, but I want to acknowledge that sometimes, in all honesty, many of us may have the sense that it's presumption to hear from God in any other way than a specific way. And I'm speaking here in terms of just reading the words of the Bible. And I want to affirm that the Scripture is the foundation, and the Spirit uses the Scriptures in our lives to call to our remembrance what is being said. But we cannot forget that the stories we read in Scripture are the stories of God speaking. And He is still speaking. So we can get all of these voices going on in our heads, experiences in our lives. It's interesting that in the garden, hearing God and His commands was a natural thing. Think back with me for a moment to Genesis, when our first parents came into being and God established that relationship with humankind, and how the assumption we make based on the story that is there is that there was this natural communication. Partially, I mean, face to face with God. Easy. Undistracted. And then we took a left turn. And conversation with God, listening to Him, hearing His voice, became an unnatural experience. It became the exception rather than the rule. I just have to, I mean, I don't want to press this point too much, but use your imagination for a moment. Just think about Adam and Eve having conversations with God. Sitting in the garden, I don't know if they made tea. They might have. I don't think they had coffee. I hope they might have had coffee. I don't know. But just think about that, sitting. Because I know sitting across the table from someone, sitting with Deb on our pork swing and having those natural conversations that happen, that's what it was like at the beginning. But something happened to change that. And because of that, something needs to change in us. Because we are not natural listeners to God. It's reported that high-frequency hearing loss will affect a person's ability to understand speech. This happens because the consonants S, H, and F are high-frequency sounds that range from 1,500 to 6,000 hertz. Just thought you'd like to know that. Losing hearing in those frequencies means that those sounds are harder to discern. And it's like we've lost the ability to hear those frequencies that come our way from God. Something has changed in us. Hearing God's voice, this first work that has to happen in us, really begins when God's voice cuts through the static of our lives and we hear our name being called. And he says to us, come, follow me. That's where it begins. When we hear that voice for the first time on God's initiative, and he cuts through and makes us his own. But then it has to grow. Because, again, this is not a natural thing. This is a lifelong process of unfolding and returning to the idea of those natural conversations that we should have with the Father. A couple of psalms that really stick out to me here. Psalm 40, verse 6, very interesting. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Or as Peterson says in the Message, doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're asking. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 40. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain a word with him who is weary. Note this, so there's the speaking, but listen, morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. So prior to the speaking, there is this idea of hearing. And some of the commentators get a little bit on the gross side here, so pardon me, but they say that that word in the Hebrew that talks about God awakening my ear is actually God digging our ears. It's as if there's a ton of wax in our ears, and God is in the process daily of getting that out. And I can resonate with that. I had a lot of problem with that as a young child growing up. Spent a lot of time going to the doctors and even home remedies. And it's amazing that's the metaphor that the scriptures use when it comes to our ability to actually hear God. So without God's work in our lives, cleaning out our spiritual ears, we cannot hear him. It's like some of you folks younger than me won't remember the tuning radios you had in your car, all right? And you had to be really careful to dial in the radio station you wanted, because there was a lot of static on either side, right? And you had to get there just right. We don't have that anymore with digital. But that's what God has to do for us. It's like we have to get that tuning in to hear his voice and the work that he does in our hearts. His grace, his work in our lives, tunes our ears. There's a hymn that we sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And the next line is, Tune my heart to sing your grace. This needs to be our prayer. That even after we have heard that first word from God, in the lifelong process of hearing him, we've got to let him work his work in us to unpack what is so difficult for us to hear. Deb and I used to teach Navigators Colossians 2:7 discipleship programs years ago. And as a part of that, you had to spend a day in prayer. And one of the things that was really important in spending that day of prayer was you had to start with a blank sheet of paper, maybe 5 or 6, depending on your situation, and start writing down all of the things that were distracting you, all of the thoughts you had in your mind, just doing a dump from everything that was in your head and your heart before you could even start to pray. And then the Spirit of God can begin to direct as you listen to him in that time of prayer. So a listening life has to begin with the work of God in our lives. And it doesn't stop. It continues in a lifelong process. Now, a listening life also requires a certain posture. Have you ever noticed when someone is really listening to you, what their bodily posture is? Thank you, Ron. They kind of take on this idea of, they lean in, right? And they focus on what you're saying. Think about when you're trying to figure out what that noise is in your house in the middle of the night. It's like, what? There's a posture that goes with that, even bodily. But what we want to cultivate here in a listening life is the posture of our heart and the posture of our soul towards God. Jesus' posture is evident. He postured himself before the Father in prayer consistently. I think Jesus' posture is represented also in the way that he came near to us, in listening to us. Think about the woman that he healed on the road who had such a long history of difficulty with a bodily issue. And Jesus, she touched Jesus' robe, and he turned to her, and he listened to her entire story. He listened to her entire story. Psalm 31:2 and 86:1 give us a beautiful picture of this idea of posturing, and the boldness of David is amazing because he talks about the king who listens. He says in 31:2 and 86:1, I'll just read them in together, incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily, be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. It's as if David knew and depended on and asked of God, the King of the universe, the God who has created all things and made everything and him as well, he's asking this king to bend his ear, to stoop low to him, to put his ear to David's lips. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? That God would do that for us? And this is the posture that Jesus had throughout his life. When we listen intently, there is respect and deference and this whole idea of hospitality. It says, what you are saying is more important than what I need to say. And don't you appreciate that when people do that for you? And I believe with all of my heart that there is a great deal of appreciation on God's part when we, his children, take that posture, incline our ear, and have him incline his ear to us. Nick, thanks for stepping in for me today. I think I've lost my job as a bass player. You did a great job. But I find as a bass player, and since I've been learning and playing bass, that when I listen to music, I listen for the bass line. I am intent and inclined. Everything in me moves toward that bass line in the songs. I'm constantly looking for it. So the posture that we want to have in spirit and in heart towards God and even towards one another, based on Jesus' example and God's example, is this: to have the same attitude as Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It is the posture of humility. So, it begins with God's work. It requires a certain posture. And it also requires a different pace. A listening life requires a different pace. Again, Jesus' pattern is our example. There was absolutely nothing frantic about Jesus' life, was there? If you read through the Gospels and see the way in which Jesus went about his life, as eternally significant as his job was, there's nothing panicked, frantic, hurried about Jesus' life. That's a challenge to me. Absolutely. He always made room to slow down and listen. Always stopped to listen to the questions on the sides of the road, right? Those who reached out to him in need. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if this is your experience, but I know it's mine. It is absolutely impossible to listen when we are rushing. Can't do it. Internally or externally. The hurry eliminates the possibility of listening. And I may have said this before in another time, but I'm really challenged by Dallas Willard's statement to John Ortberg when John asked about how to grow his church. And, you know, you'd figure he'd give him an entire list of church growth things and stuff, books he needed to read. But this is what he said. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. How's that for a church growth strategy? But it says a lot when you connect it with this idea of listening to God as God grows his church. So a listening life requires a different pace. I really love our mornings on the porch, on the swing. Our neighbor works at Chrysler. I'm sure he doesn't think we do anything but sit on our porch and swing. He leaves in the morning at 7 o'clock, and we're out there with our coffee, and he's waving goodbye, and we say, you know, have a great day, and there we sit. We actually do get up and start our days, but I enjoy those because the conversation is easy, but I can also listen to what God is saying, and the distractions begin to peel away. And I love listening to the birds. I love listening to the rest of life around me, and it just tunes me in a way that nothing else can. That's a pace that we have found, that I have found, that really works for me. Each of us have to find that pace where hurry doesn't eliminate listening. I have been known to be a driven person in my life. My happy face comment comes from that. Okay? And those of you who have never watched the Tommy Lee Jones, and I've never watched the movie, but I saw the trailers about it. It's a movie anyway. They asked him a question, you know, where's your happy face? And he said, this is my happy face. And if you know him as an actor, that's kind of his demeanor. So that's the persona that I've been given. I'm driven. And unless I had started in recent years to slow the pace down to listen to God and his spirit, I would have never known that behind the drivenness, which is so celebrated in our culture, there were the things of, I want attention. I want to be in control. I want to make a difference so that people, I can be satisfied and have significance. I'd have never known those things were really operating behind the scenes had I not stopped long enough and let God's Spirit speak to me. So a listening life requires a different pace. And that's a challenge for us. Right? Anybody here not challenged by that? Okay. A listening life finally requires commitment. And this is the toughest thing, I think, for all of us. John 8:29, Jesus says, And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So in the pattern of Jesus' life, we see this idea of not only listening to the Father, but doing what the Father said to do. There was the commitment to obey, the commitment to do what pleased the Father. And the challenge here in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The Greek word for listen or to hear is the Greek word acoustics. Now, we're used to the mechanics of acoustics and sound. But it's more than sound. The idea of the Greek word conveys hearkening, heeding, obeying, understanding, taking in. And what Jesus is saying in John chapter 10 is, right now, his sheep are listening. They are listening. And that is because they are believing. And as a result, they are obeying. I think sometimes for me, far too often, I simply don't want to do what God says. Right? We read the scriptures, we pray, we listen to all kinds of input around our walk with Jesus, and we go, yeah, that's great. And it just becomes another file folder in our deck. And we shut our ears. And I wonder, I don't have any scripture backing for this, but I wonder sometimes if God doesn't stop speaking. Because we haven't lived up to what we've already heard. It's like, look, I'm not going to give you any more. You know? More isn't always better. Obedience in the Latin means listening from below. It's a deep listening. It's a listening life that obeys. Not always the physical kind of obedience, but the emotional, mental, and soul activity of becoming more of who and what we were made to be. And I think it's good to study the scriptures, but as I said, sometimes more is not better. Sometimes we just need to stop, listen, and do what God says before we move on to the next chapter. Because the warning in Scripture is the Pharisees knew the Scriptures but failed to listen, and so missed Jesus. In John chapter 9, verse 27, the man born blind was challenged by the Pharisees, and he says, didn't you listen to me? I told you what he did for me. They were predisposed and preoccupied with their own agenda. And over again, Jesus said, "You've heard it said, but I say to you." So there was a lot of saying, but not a lot of doing. We need to make a commitment to engage, to decide, to change, to desire in faith what God is speaking to us and for us. We have to make that commitment. A listening life requires it to do what God says. So what? We see the desire to make room and to listen to God and others clearly displayed in the life of Jesus. If you just think about the pattern that he lays down for us, it's pretty clear. Listening to Father, listening to others, having a different pace, making a commitment. Begins, though, with that first work and the ongoing work of God by his Spirit in our lives. God has made room for us, brothers and sisters. He has extended hospitality through his grace and his constant invitations to come near as he speaks. Over and over again, remember what Jesus says as he's speaking the parables? Listen. And then he ends it with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the invitation is constantly there to listen. And we need to lean into that pattern for ourselves. If we're going to speak words of wisdom and grace in this world, if we're going to do the things that make a difference in the kingdom of God, then we need first to listen. And that's really what this 3 months is all about. Hearing God's voice, making room for God's voice in our lives. Some of that has to happen where he lays his transforming hand in our lives. And if that's going to happen, we have to first listen to him. If we're really going to become aware of where God wants to make the changes in our lives, we have to stop and listen. But I want to reassure us, without giving you an escape hatch, okay, that this is a lifelong process. Again, it's not instantaneous. To offer God room in our busy schedules and our stressed out souls, we have to grow into a life that listens. A life that we're meant to have. We're meant to have that kind of conversation and that relationship with the Father. It has to begin with that first work. Has that first work occurred in your life? Is that work going on in your life by the Spirit where you're in letting God awaken you every morning and cleaning out the resistance to his voice? Requires a certain posture, a certain pace, and definitely a commitment to obey what he says to us. Father, speak to us now. Hopefully something that was said or read from your word will resonate. We want to listen. Help us, Father, to heed the admonition of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Give us ears to hear. Build in us a life that listens. A life that speaks and does what pleases you because we have listened. Help us to take the first step today. Whatever that may be and wherever that may take us, to make room for your voice. And as a fellowship of believers, God, may this be our intent, to always keep our ear close to you, to be inclined and in humility and trust listen. Father, as our worship to you continues, you have told us, and we have listened, that part of our joy, part of our discipleship, is to worship you in giving. So we do that today in obedience, but also with the knowledge and the delight of knowing that what we give comes from you in the beginning, and you have decided to use it for the honor and glory of your name in this place. So we give. We give our hearts first, and then we give our tithes and offerings in honor and worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.